Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Stand back. There's a hurricane coming through.
It is that time of the week here on Robbie and Rex Road. We are joined by Paul Kuharski from PaulKuharski.com here for the next hour here on the program. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser, Junie Riddle on this Wednesday morning. PK, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, gentlemen. I'm sorry I couldn't make it for donuts. I love donuts, but I'm carless because this deer damage to my car apparently takes 3 weeks to fix. And I'm heading to the airport right after this, and I've got an arthritic back that feels like somebody shot me. So I got a lot going on.
That's not good. There's a deer problem around here, PK. There's deer running wild everywhere.
Yeah, especially a quarter mile from my house.
Well, we hope your back starts to feel better.
Thanks.
PK, let's begin on the trade deadline front. So you were with us last week after the Titans had moved on from Kevin Byard. That ends up being the only move, no moves yesterday by the Titans. We've heard from some Titans fans today that are upset by that, that was the only move that they made. Where do you come down on the Titans, the trade deadline, and Kevin Byard being the only move that the Titans made when everything's said and done?
I thought Autry or Tart would likely move. And I didn't think the return for either one was going to be significant, but, 10 more games of one of those guys versus something, I thought would have been, a wise move for them. I don't think that they said, hey, we're going to keep this team together now because we think we've got a real shot here. Though they're in good position here. I mean, if they win tomorrow night, which is feasible, maybe not probable, they'd be two games off the Jaguars' pace. Only eight teams in the NFL would be in better shape than them coming out of the weekend, conceivably. And so they're still maintaining contact, conceivably, with the field. But it would have made sense to get a little bit more for the future. But they came out with the Byard trade with an almost full draft class, down a third in exchange for Will Levis. So they're back to sort of even footing with the draft, at least, and go forward kind of normal.
If they get back into this, PK, and, they're heavily in a wild card race, because at this point I'm looking at the Jags and I'm still wondering if they're going to be able to actually compete for the division. But let's say they get themselves back to even, get their head above water, they're in there late. Do you think at some point, or maybe at multiple points, we're going to be saying, gosh, if they just had, a really good veteran safety playmaker back there, that might have made the difference in this game or that game? Like, do you think the Byard trade comes back the other way in terms of, I hear what you're saying on draft capital. I agree, it was worthwhile, but that's all they did. So is that going to be something that gets questioned later?
I don't know, because the veteran safety playmaker wasn't making plays is the thing. He hadn't touched a ball all season. And I'm wary, and I know he's going to go to Philadelphia and do things surrounded by a lot better talent. And a playmaking defense, and people are going to say, oh, he could have done that here, which I don't think is necessarily the case. I think they may miss him, Joe, more on the leadership front and the steady rudder front. He plays great run defense. He gets people lined up, all of that kind of stuff. And so we'll see as they face far better passing offenses. I say that without thinking of who they're playing. Just thinking that Atlanta's a terrible passing offense. So I'm presuming they'll see people better. But they've got a not great schedule ahead of them in terms of the offenses that they will see. But I think we'll feel Kevin Byard missing more in those regards than in the lost playmaker sense. At least that's my sense of things right now.
So, PK, Will Levis, obviously very impressive on Sunday, four touchdowns, three deep shots on the day, three touchdowns for DeAndre Hopkins. Hard to draw up a better NFL debut than Will Levis had on Sunday. What did you make of what you saw from the Titans quarterback on Sunday? And was it surprising? How did you feel about Levis and his debut after watching it from the press box on Sunday?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how you can't be surprised by how efficient it was. I mean, Vrabel talks about efficient quarterback play, and I don't think he's picturing three bombs, you know, that get you. The four touchdown plays, I think, were 66% of his passing yards in that game. That's about as efficient as you can get. And then they've had the red zone problems. We don't know if those are fixed or not because they threw right over the top of the red zone. They're only in there once and got the 16-yard DeAndre Hopkins touchdown. So really fine debut. Now, you know, it's not a direct parallel, but Marcus Mariota had a great debut, and he got sacked seven times in his second game. And here comes the big Titans question mark with NPF back at right tackle, Andre Dillard unfortunately back at left tackle because of Hubbard's concussion, and you've got T.J. Watt and Highsmith coming at those two guys. It's going to be a completely different game in terms of pass rush. Atlanta just not threatening on the edge, and their best pass rusher tears his ACL during the course of the Titans game is an interior guy in Grady Jarrett. So a different game in terms of the pass rush and in terms of the tackles holding up and in terms of guys needing to stay in to help and in terms of quicker routes and all of the things that have been issues for the Titans this year will be at play. And some of that deep stuff won't have time to develop. So it's a really different test for Levis and the offense. It'll be really interesting to see how all of this stuff will translate in a hostile environment under the bright lights on national TV and all of that stuff. And if he passes this test, you know, even if he plays, you know, well by a lesser definition of well, in a loss, I think the excitement will really carry over fan-wise, team-wise, locker room-wise, and they'll really be on to something.
Have we seen, and should we have seen, the last of Ryan Tannehill quarterback in the Tennessee Titans?
Yeah, I mean, in my opinion, and in most opinions, yes. I don't know why, given the ceiling that you've seen, I don't know why Will Levis's education wouldn't continue on the field for the foreseeable future, barring injury or any problems for him like that. It just doesn't make any sense now, knowing what he can do, what he's capable of. You're not going to get something like that every week by any means. But, you know, he's got the leadership skills, the moxie. Get him out there and let him learn all he can and accelerate the growth curve and get the train moving.
Now, do you think Vrabel agrees with that? Because, you know, obviously, you know, the way he answered the question the other day about, you know, the hypothetical part of it and not being willing to commit to a starting quarterback once Tannehill's healthy. How do you think Vrabel views the Tannehill discussion?
I think everything he says about quarterback now has to be looked at through the lens of gamesmanship and the what you're making the opponent prepare for and all of that. I know a lot of people are disappointed that he hasn't joined the chorus of praise. But, you know, Mike Herndon, and I talk about this on my pod that's out now, points out, you know, and I think we all know this, we maybe just haven't pinpointed it, that you know, when there's a cause to help keep a guy humble, Vrabel goes with that. And when somebody needs a boost, Vrabel goes with that. And especially with the quick turn week, you know, he couldn't be guilty of helping Willis get caught up in any of the excitement of that win. He needed to get him right back down to earth, feet on the ground, to get ready for, you know, the tough game that we just talked about. And so I think in terms of what Vrabel's going to say about the quarterbacking situation until Tannehill's healthy and we see what they do for sure, we can't read too much into what Vrabel's saying. If Vrabel wants to win, and he's going to do what gives them the best chance to win, and I don't see how going back to Ryan Tannehill is going to do that. And if he does it, you know, we know what you guys will be talking about.
Oh, yeah.
3 hours a day.
So, yeah, the whole reaction to Vrabel's reaction has been interesting, maybe bordering on bizarre, PK. Especially, like, first of all, I mean, the press conference stuff, it totally, to me, like, you got to be totally expecting that, right? That was zero surprise. But, you know, what about the video of the lock, you know, of Levis coming off? Maybe people are, like, comparing it to when he was, like, crying and hugging Ben Jones, because Ben Jones shouldn't even have been trying to walk that day, but he played football. I don't know. But, like, to me, it was just like he said something to him real quick, like, hey, blah, 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 and okay, great, and then he goes in the locker room, and people are acting like that's some sort of, like, I don't even know
that
what.
That he hates Will Levis.
Yeah, I mean, help me understand.
We don't know what he said there. And we don't know that they didn't have a private moment. I mean, there's so much that we don't know. So to read into what we see that didn't have captions or audio, I think it's just irresponsible not to say that as we're analyzing what we did see and didn't hear. I mean, you know, there are plenty of guys who've had great games who – haven't had the hug moment, or whose moments with him we haven't seen. You know, we don't see every exchange that he has with every player coming off the field after every game. So I think it's just a stretch to read stuff into it. I mean, what do we think? He hates Will Levis after he throws four touchdowns and leads them to a much-needed win? It's crazy. I think he's – I mean, anything he's doing there is a measured thing to pace the rookie. What other conclusion can we draw? Like, this other stuff is bizarro land.
Well, you played like crap. What was that out there? What are you doing?
Yeah, I don't understand why that ball didn't stick to Burks' hands.
Yeah.
615.
For all we know, they might have had a nice mayo sandwich shared alone together later.
It's not sandwiches that are the thing. It's coffee.
Yeah, well, coffee, if you love mayo, you love it on
And that's
a lot
another
things.
Reason I didn't come out there. I'm sure you're at a small table. I would have had no space with all your coffee creamers all over the place.
Oh, I thought you were going to say that because we put mayo in our coffee.
No, over here I've got all the room in the world. It's tidy. I'm sitting at Robbie's seat, which
nice
is
and clean.
Very pleasant and clean, well kept.
Don't touch my stuff.
That's how we do it. 615-737-1025, our phone number. We'll have more with Paul Kaharsky from paulkaharsky.com. Talking all things Titans coming up next. We'll take your phone calls, your text as well. 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Tune in to 94.9 The Fan this Saturday for Vanderbilt football. The Commodores kicking off at 3 o'clock at home against Auburn with pregame beginning at 1:30. Coverage also available on 94.9 The Fan app and at 94.9thefan.com. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex. We are live out at Duncan in Old Hickory, 511 Hadley Village Boulevard. We're going to be out here for the rest of our show. Chase and Big Joe will be out here all morning long as well. So come on out to Duncan here in Old Hickory, 511 Hadley Village Boulevard. We are taking your thoughts, your calls on the Titans. 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. Paul Kaharsky from paulkaharsky.com with us for the next hour in studio. PK.
Hey, I just had a real, real battle with the vending machine here.
That's what I hear. How'd that go?
I started out by putting $2 in there. It's a vending machine that doesn't tell you how much things cost. You kind of have to guess. I haven't been around here that long yet. So I put in $2 cash, money, paper money, and I hit D6 for a bottle of water, and I had no results. And so I said, well, listen, I'll change this up to a credit card. So I pushed the button hoping to get my two paper dollars back, and the coins start going. And I'm like, well, I'm going to have some quarters today. But it's going for a long time. And I'm thinking, whoa, this thing's giving me a lot of quarters. I'm making some money here. But it turns out I get a lot of nickels. Lot of nickels.
Hey, it's just like when I went to Atlantic City that time in 1984.
Dude, I'm not from Boston. I don't like Boston. I like the city of Boston if they would empty it of Bostonians.
So what are you going to do with the nickels?
Yeah, I'm going to have trouble getting through security.
Leave those for us. Those are ours. Just, those belong to the Robbie and Rex Show.
We know Jared would scarf them up, so I can't leave them here for Robbie and Rex Show.
Like eat them? This is taking a weird turn.
PK,
use them in the machine.
We were discussing earlier. So Will Levis, we all saw the performance Sunday, and I don't expect tomorrow the stat line to look anything like that. But I do wonder if he goes out there tomorrow and he plays well once again, and he looks good, he looks efficient, and the Titans go on the road and they win against Pittsburgh. How does that change maybe how we view this team this season and what they can be if Will Levis in back-to-back games to begin his NFL career looks great out there?
Well, I mean, I've said time and time again, and I think Ryan Tannehill was a very good quarterback for this team for a good section of time. But one of my complaints about Ryan Tannehill was that he did not elevate the game of any receivers, really, that he had. And I think that's the job of a quarterback to a degree. And that's why he never rose past a certain level of quarterback. Will Levis already in the one game had Nick Westbrook-Ikhina running 21.5 miles an hour to go run after a very attractive ball that hung up in the sky for him. So, you know, if Will Levis has guys playing better for him than they typically play, that is a very exciting development. And the energy and the vibe, you know, look, the fact of the matter is Tannehill is slowing down some and he's beaten up. And if you have a new guy with a super terrific arm who's bringing that youthful energy and exuberance, that changes the vibe. You know, people are always asking me, what's the vibe like in the locker room this week? What's the feel? And usually the answer is, you can't tell any difference from week to week about the vibe. Guys get on the plane after a game or they go home and they forget about it a lot quicker than you do. And get on with their lives. It's their job. They're passionate about it, sure, but they're also it's also work. Just like you try to forget about your job when you get home. But it is different in these circumstances with this kind of development if he does, in fact, carry some of the things that we saw over. It's transformational. It can be.
So should they have just gone with Will Levis from the start?
No, that's not what it means. That's not what it means. Too many people are going with that. Like,
Elaborate. Please elaborate.
Yeah, I will because – I think there's a lot that he learned, I'm sure, in the practices. You know, there are limitations on it, certainly, doing scout team stuff. But still, there's stuff to learn there. In the meeting rooms, for sure. I think it's too easy to say, well, he would have done this, week one, instead of saying, you know, well, those 6 weeks of being – watching Tannehill and being in the meeting rooms with Charles London and Tim Kelly and Mike Vrabel and Ryan Tannehill and watching things unfold and learning some things gave him a leg up and put him in better position to come in and do the things he did against an opponent that was probably ideal for him. I think it's a little too easy to say, well, if you had just started him week one, you would have had 6 weeks of this already. You can make an argument, Joe, and I invite you to do it, or maybe you've been doing it. But I think it's a little naive to say if you had dropped him in on opening day, we would have been watching this, you know, for 7 weeks before week eight.
Oh, no, I totally agree with you. But this is the predictable, obvious post one game take from some people.
Yeah,
for sure. I mean, look, I will say though, I mean, it's clear, PK, that the arm talent, the strength of the arm, whatever you want to call it, is outrageous. I mean, the throw he makes to NWI that you brought up, I don't know how many quarterbacks in the league are making that throw, but it's not very many.
It's a tremendous throw.
And that alone, to me, is like the ability to do that should excite the crap out of if you're a Titans fan, because they've just not had – I don't know if they've had anybody that can do that.
Absolutely. And listen, look, I had my doubts about Will Levis when they drafted him, right? My thing is, you know, that whole draft season forces you as a reporter, as a commentator – to have strong opinions on guys before they draft him, and then before they draft them, and then you say, well, now he's here, and you give him a clean slate, you get to know him, and you see what he does. Based on what I saw out of college, I had questions about his decision-making and his accuracy. Based on his first game, I have no questions about his decision-making and his accuracy, right? And we see where it goes from there. But you know, I'd be surprised if we don't see some interceptions from him over the course of the next several weeks when he's under more pressure and has to make some quicker decisions. But boy, can he bail himself out of some pressure situations if he's going to make throws off of his back foot with two guys bearing down on him and can flick his wrist like that and throw the ball well over 60 yards when you factor in the fact the element that he's throwing from outside the right hash to, you know, 5 yards from the left sideline. I mean, it's something to behold.
No question about it. We'll get to your calls coming up next, 615-737-1025. If you have a question for PK, hit up our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser, Paul Kaharsky with us here, talking all things Titans for the next 30 minutes. Taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025. Let's go to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Michigan. Michigan, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Good morning, gentlemen. Top of the morning to you. I hope everybody's doing well.
Thank you
broke out the Curb Your Enthusiasm music like a half an hour too early. Good Lord, PK, you're having a day. I'm sorry, buddy.
Thank you.
I'm also on my way to the airport, but not to go to Pittsburgh. I'm going to Game 5 of the World Series, and I also have an arthritic back, but you've got two up on me.
Man. Well, I thought it was a ruptured disc, so I'm very happy to have arthritis.
Yes, yes.
That's a better outcome for sure. Hey, I've got a statement and then a question. First of all, I know there's a lot of discourse around Tannehill. I'm not a huge Tannehill fan. Something I haven't heard maybe mentioned enough is he seemed legitimately, like, thrilled for Levis on the sideline. And I know there was a lot of kind of hopping around and a lot of energy there. But having lived through a couple different versions of the Chris Chandler experience in my lifetime where he had a younger quarterback under him, it is kind of nice to see that he seemed legitimately happy that Will was doing well. And I don't think that can go understated. I don't think, you know, Ryan's going to be back here next year. I don't think that's breaking news for anybody. But I did think that was worth noting and something I haven't heard enough. So I'll get to my question because I know you got other people waiting here. Derrick Henry is going to be an interesting case this offseason, PK, and I have an allegory that's very appropriate for this week since we're playing the Steelers. Towards the end of his career, I'm thinking the 05 season particularly, Jerome Bettis was still in Pittsburgh, but they had Willie Parker, right? Willie had 1,200 yards, 4 touchdowns. I think Bettis had like 300, but 9 touchdowns. Do you see a scenario where you think Rand and Mike could sell that to Derek to maybe take a hometown discount and be the hammerhead? And I'll kind of listen off air. I love you guys. Yep. You know, go Titans tomorrow
night.
Thanks
for the call, man. Appreciate it. Great use of allegory.
I mean, I don't know that Derek's going to get a lot of money anywhere. I mean, I honestly don't know that it's about selling Derek on legacy here. I think it's about whether they want him or not. I think it's about whether with Will Levis as the quarterback next year and with Tajay Spears available to them as a more versatile, potentially every down back, if they want Derrick Henry and the style of play that Derrick Henry brings them, I would think that next year his role would be significantly reduced if they're advancing themselves in a stylistic way. And I just feel like they're anticipating his drop off. And if that's the case, they may just not want him, despite all of the sentimentality connected to his legacy here and all of that, which they can't get caught up in. And if I had to go gut feeling, and I don't know where you are, Joe, I think it's more likely than not that he's not back, even though they could probably have him for a year and $6 million.
See, I would counter – yeah. I would counter that, though, with actually something Junie brought up. I don't know, Paul, if you ever met Junie before.
Yeah, I heard he used to get me Arnold Palmer's.
Yeah. Nice guy.
I was a very busy man, working two jobs, trying to get something to drink.
Yeah, I know.
Body vending machines.
Yeah, listen, yeah. It's not Junie that I don't remember Junie. The interns who made a big impression, I remember.
I just can't imagine how someone named Junie with his strong takes would not leave an impression on you. But
strong takes. This radio station is obsessed with takes. Just to have intellectual conversations.
Okay. All right. Just, you know what? Stop derailing my point here. All right. So here's my counter to you on Derrick Henry. I hear what you're saying. But I would also say, and this was the point Junie made, you know, Levis, and this was the book on Levis that I think everybody can agree on, and you saw it Sunday. You know, he's as a play-action passer in college in that Kentucky system, he was fantastic. Obviously, last year protection broke down in all facets. But I can make the case that even with a reduced role and maybe a little more for Spears or whatever, that Derrick Henry still gives you that element. Derrick Henry's still a threat. I mean, I'm with you. He's not going to get paid a lot wherever he goes. I think the Titans should think long and hard about that, and he would have to probably change his role a little bit, but I think he could still be an asset. On his side, I'm with you. I'm still going to – I would guess right now he's somewhere else, because I think if you're Derrick Henry, I think you're also – you're going to look at, like, what you said, 6 million, whatever. And I think maybe you're in ring-chasing mode. Now, you could also, if you're the Titans, with this cap space, with this ability they have – to improve the roster, and if Levis is really good the rest of this year, you might be able to talk him into they could be good next year. But there's a lot of facets to this, right?
I would say never mind ring-chasing mode. If I'm Derrick Henry, I'd be in Hall of Fame-chasing mode.
Yeah,
and your best chance to chase Hall of Fame is here, I think. I think you'll get the most red zone touches. I think you get the most goal line touches, even in a reduced role. All of those things would benefit him most. But to Junie's point,
hey, said your name.
We've said for a long time, you know, the play action would work best, or it'd benefit Derek most if they could get people out of the box. And we've talked about receivers getting people out of the box. But now we're looking at a scenario where the quarterback maybe could get people out of the box with his ability to throw over the top. And that's something that we haven't had as a discussion point ever, because Tannehill, you know, throws deep well, but it's a different animal than what Levis could do, like we're talking about, with the potential to throw, you know, off the back foot just with the flick of the wrist, all of that stuff. And so maybe, you know, I'm taking the other side of this now, but Derek could be a better back facing fewer stacked boxes, because the quarterback changes the dynamic in terms of the play action.
What about the Hopkins part of this, PK? We were talking about this earlier. Obviously, he's been really good to this point. Was great on Sunday with the connection with him and Levis, and he's on pace for somewhere in the neighborhood of 1,200 yards. I mean, obviously, that would justify the salary that he's being paid. What about just the importance for the Titans keeping him around through the trade deadline, and how much you think that helps Will Levis if he's going to remain the starter the rest of the year?
Well, when he gets to 24 yards, I think it is, on Thursday night, which I presume he gets, he matches Robert Woods' total from last year, which led the Titans in receiving yards. I mean, that says a lot right there. But the guy's been terrific. I sent out something this morning, a stat about his depth of target, which is like sixth in the league, you know. And I think we all thought, well, he's going to come and be sure-handed and run good routes and catch things in small windows, but he's not going to be a deep guy. And he's running away from people on Sunday. I mean, he's been terrific. I think he's a level, measured guy who's another voice like Derrick Henry about, hey, let's not panic. You know, we're still in range here. Good things can happen. Calm voice of reason, very healthy. And, you know, lo and behold, Julio Jones and Randy Moss and Andre Johnson, you know, I said, you know, you can't not get another good veteran receiver just because those guys didn't work. And here's one who's finally working, knock on wood for him. And he deserves a ton of credit. I mean, he's been everything that you could want. First with converting third downs and now with touchdowns. And certainly a guy, barring something bad happening, that you'd want through next year for Will Levis. And hopefully they'll draft one, too, and not laugh at us on TV as they actually add a young weapon who could develop maybe into a Hopkins-like guy, you know, through a Titans career instead of leaving them to consistently chase 30-year-old Hall of Fame caliber guys.
Okay, so as you've said, you're a big takes guy. Get some takes to get your take on, actually. So one of them is we're going to have Charles on tomorrow. Charles Robinson went on a podcast. I don't remember what podcast it was.
Yeah, Charles Robinson screwed you. Screwed you.
Well, well, I texted him, and he's like, well, we talked about that on your show. I'm like, did we?
No,
I don't think we did.
If you did, Stillman would have done three shows on it, and he didn't.
Well, we'll get to him later. But to summarize for people who didn't see this, I think the term he used was, quote, ownership-driven decision, end quote, to draft Will Levis. Your thoughts on that?
Well, I heard you talking about it, and I tend to agree, and I'm anxious to hear more from him. Is it an ownership driven decision to draft Will Levis, or is it an ownership decision to draft the next
quarterback? Right.
You know, if it's to draft the next quarterback, that's one thing. If it's a specific Will Levis thing, that's a different deal. And I'll tell you this, after I listened to what he had to say, I went and looked very specifically at biographies of people connected to Amy Adams Strunk to find a Kentucky connection. And I did not find one. Daughter's boyfriend, daughter's boyfriend's brother. No Kentucky connections there. If I had found one, alarm bells would have gone off for me.
Did Connor Stallions ever go to the Kentucky sidelines? Do we know that? Now that you mention it.
He was the Kentucky mascot. getting the signals.
Scouting the balls.
The Wildcat.
He was there with Levis scouting the balls last year.
No, the interesting ways that he – this story is unbelievable in that there's a new development with a new creative angle on what he did for every game that we found that he attended. It's fantastic.
Well, I was telling Rexro, we need to call this guy back, get him out of football, get him back in CIA. He'd be valuable out there.
Who's writing the book? I mean, is it Feinstein? Is it Wickersham?
Tom Wolf, maybe? I mean, it's more of a, right? It's more of a book like that, yeah.
We'll have more coming up with Paul Kuharsky from paulkuharsky.com coming up next. Got more of your thoughts to get to on our text line as well, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game, live out at Duncan in Old Hickory, 511 Hadley Village Boulevard. We're going to be out here for the rest of our show. Chase and Big Joe going to be out here from 9 to 11 a.m. as well. So come on out. Duncan in Old Hickory, 511 Hadley Village Boulevard. Looking forward to seeing you out there. Got lots of people rolling in as we speak. Paul Kuharsky from paulkuharsky.com with us here talking all things Titans.
Okay. It's a Stilly and Pauly segment coming up here, or at least a part of a segment. So, PK, Dinah Russini came on our show yesterday, and she said something interesting, although not as interesting to me as some took it, saying, I think the quote was, Ran runs the show. Right, Robbie?
Yeah.
Am I right about that?
Yeah,
Ran
runs
the show.
Personnel.
Yeah. Right.
Runs personnel. It's different than runs the show.
Right.
Very different.
Okay. I understand. So that's, I mean, to me, it's kind of semantics. I mean, that made me think nothing different at all of what we believe, how we believe it's set up in there. At least for me, it didn't. Well, but hold on. So now, obviously, Stilly, your mythical co-host, went nuts with that. But he also played audio of you saying Vrabel something up in the summer, right? What did you hear this, Robbie?
Nope.
Yeah. All right. Well, he played audio of you saying like Vrabel makes all the decisions, which to me those two things can go together, but I don't know.
Absolutely.
Stillman
go
believes Look, that he caught you red-handed. No, your thoughts.
Ridiculous. Look, Vrabel's the most powerful guy over there. Unquestioned, I think. But Rand runs personnel. Look, there's a personnel department. It's got like 12 or 15 people in it. Vrabel's not in that office running those people, managing those people, hiring those people. He's got a full-time job as a head coach of a football team with a staff of like 20 coaches that he runs. He can't run personnel. It's not feasible. Vrabel running Carthon running personnel is not a news nugget. He manages the personnel department. He runs the personnel department. The scouts report to him.
It's I do obvious. Remember. Yeah, yeah. No, I agree with you. There was something that you said in this clip, though, where you said some, and I'm paraphrasing, but you said some, look at how some departments that didn't used to report to Vrabel report to Vrabel. I think
sure.
That was, yeah.
And there are some departments that used to report to Robinson that report to Vrabel. If he interpreted that as personnel reporting to Vrabel, that's idiotic. I never suggested that personnel report to Vrabel. How could you interpret that as personnel reporting to Vrabel? I mean, look at the flow chart on the thing. Rand runs personnel. How could personnel conceivably report to Vrabel in the structure that they have? How could Vrabel have time for that?
And this conversation, to me, really comes down to when they're making decisions, whether that's a draft pick, whether it's a trade, whether it's whatever, free agents, who has final say on what they do? And I believe that's Mike Vrabel. Like, I think Mike Vrabel, if he wants something to happen, then it's going to happen with this Titans team. That's what I believe.
And Rand can still run personnel with that as a truth.
Here's one other thing. I think that there were some players that they did not agree on in the draft or in free agency that they simply moved on from. That was my understanding. I don't know if that was draft specific. I think it was definitely free agent specific. So it's not a heavy hand that Vrabel's using if he has that. Also, Joe, I think
shouldn't use a heavy hand because you
want to be in agreement, consensus.
Yeah. And then you got to let. I mean, think about anybody in any job. I mean, if you're constantly saying no, it's me, then it's not gonna. That's not going to be beneficial for everybody.
Also, didn't you say this, Joe? I mean, if she's talking to GMs and she's saying who's running the Titans, well, other GMs are talking to GMs.
Well, exactly. Like Vrabel's grinding film. He's like, hold on, I got to take this call from you. Yeah, I mean, Rand, that's his job. He's the GM. Again, it's just like John Lynch, right? I mean, John Lynch gets a lot of credit for what the Niners have done, but we know who has final say there. And so, I mean, but he still does the job. He has this huge staff of people who do all this legwork. And then, Mike, here's the information.
Yeah, but I'm sorry, Jared couldn't understand that. There are a lot of departments over there, and some of them shifted to under Vrabel's purview during the change. Personnel was not one of them, though he has, I believe, a much louder voice in personnel when he wants it. But go look at the administrative list. There are 15 departments with the Titans. More of those departments report to Vrabel than used to under Robbins.
This topic should die. It will not die.
No, he needs it. He's desperate for content.
PK, last thing. Well, one of the last things we'll get into with you here, the matchup against Pittsburgh. So, first off, your impressions of that matchup, and if the Titans do get a win and they're able to get this done tomorrow and improve to 4-4, how does that change the outlook for the season in your mind?
Well, I mean, the Titans are still favored in, I think, 4 games going forward. This is very interesting. I do these files for Bet Tennessee every week as a little side gig. They're coming off of that win against Atlanta. Their minuscule Super Bowl odds of 0.8% did not go up. And their over-under for win total on the season went down from at DraftKings from 7.5 to 6.5.
Wow.
So they don't like the quarterback movement or uncertainty, which surprises me in a big way. If they beat Pittsburgh, I think they're in a very nice position in terms of competing for the seventh spot in the AFC. They have some wins that are valuable against Cincinnati, maybe against the Chargers, against the Steelers they'd have one. And those games, you know, they've only played one division game. They tend to do very well against Houston. I think those Levis versus Stroud games would be, you know, pretty interesting, certainly from a local perspective. And, you know, all is not lost, no matter how bad the local fans think this team is. And no matter how much we may have written them off at 2-4 coming back from Tottenham.
You know, PK, you mentioned this. I've heard a lot about this kind of going back to Levis. I keep going back to Levis.
That's the story.
The Mariota debut, you, as you mentioned, four touchdowns, perfect QB rating, et cetera, et cetera. How would you compare the takeaways, what you could glean from that debut versus Levis's debut?
Well, I went back and looked a little bit. I mean, he threw four touchdowns, 52 yards, I think, to Kendall Wright. It was a 10-yard pass with a big run. The other ones were short. I think there was a 4, a 1, maybe a 12. I mean, there was plenty of reason to be absolutely excited about Marcus Mariota there, but he was not airing the ball out like Will Levis is. That's what makes him different right now, is this arm. You know, Marcus Mariota was going to be a quarterback who could run and throw and give you a full game and everything. But his mobility was maybe the bigger thing that everybody was excited about, and the completeness of his game. But you know, Marcus didn't come out of college with anybody talking about his cannon. The X factor here with Will Levis is the arm. The arm. It's a fascinating element here. And if they could buy him a little bit of time, and he can continue to see things and put balls where guys can run onto them. The idea, too, of throwing people open hasn't been something that we've seen very often here during the Tannehill part. Not to take a knock at Tannehill, it just hasn't been part of what he's done very often. I think there's more cause for enthusiasm on that. And I think there'll be other holes in Levis. I think he'll throw some dangerous balls. And I wonder about the decision-making under pressure. Those are things that are going to crop up. But in terms of the comparison to Marcus, the arm is a totally different deal.
Did you hear that take from PK? The X factor of a QB is his arm. That's quite a take.
That's a hell of a take
to go out on, PK.
I don't have takes, but the X factor are these two quarterbacks
you got lots of takes.
You asked me to compare the two quarterbacks, and there's your comparison.
PK, enjoy the nickels from the vending machine room. Have a good time at
Pittsburgh. Don't block the box. Be sure to lock your locks and protect your lower back at all costs.
That's right.
For the love of God.
That's going to do it for
us today. Keep a towel on.
Robbie and Retro. Jason Big Joe coming up next, live from Duncan in Old Hickory. This is 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.